Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm Sarah Hemmerker, and today we have a little bit of a special time together. I'm with my two collaborators on our Christmas novella collection, Kimberly Woodhouse and Jana Bray. So we're going to talk about our novellas. So Jana, can you go first with your heroine? What lie does your heroine believe in this story?
Well, my heroine, Elise Sinclair, is an attorney who was jilted, shall we say, by her fiance. And the lie she believes is people need to earn forgiveness.
That is a lie I think we all can believe. I'm going to talk about my heroine and how she feels about love at the beginning of her story. And Oakley feels unlovable. She feels that because she grew up in foster care, she's unworthy of love. And therefore, she has a very hard time believing someone could love her, which I think we can all kind of relate to at various times in our life as well. So now, Kim, what past experience has had the most impact on your heroine, making her who she is today in your story?
Well, my heroine is Faith Thibodeau. And I think the past experience that has had the most impact on her is her long, what's the word I'm looking for? Her longtime boyfriend that she grew up with, and they were best friends. He betrayed her back when they were in the Culinary Institute together. And through that betrayal, she was deeply hurt, and it changed the course of her life completely, moving her from Louisiana to Alaska.
Hmm. I have a feeling those, because we're all wrote second chance romances, I have a feeling that these men are going to come back. So why don't you continue, Kim, with what character flaw does your hero want to overcome in your story?
His pride and his competitiveness.
Mm. Those can, that's going to make some interesting plot twists. I can feel it.
Yes.
All right, Jana, what about your hero? What's his biggest regret in your story?
Oh, his biggest regret drives the entire story. He broke his engagement with my heroine, Elise, to pursue a career in academia, doing research in the Australian outback. And this is not a secret. I think it's in the blurb. He comes back. That's my second chance. He comes back and... Man, trying to reconcile that after breaking off your engagement is really, really hard. So his biggest regret throughout the whole thing is how he broke the heart of the woman he loves.
Mm. And for me, I picked where my hero grew up. And he grew up with lots of siblings and loving parents in a small town that I created in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia. And he had thought he might live someplace else, but when the heroine broke his heart, he went back home and decided this was a good place to have a little coffee shop. So that's kind of where he's been, what he loves. But, you know, he didn't realize how much he was missing that heroine until she, you know, appeared back in his life, as we writers love to do. So now, because these are all romantic suspense, today we have villains. So I'm going to go first with who or what my villain loves the most, and it is money and power. This person will do anything to keep all the money that they have made and their power, including possibly hurting children. So they don't care about that. They only want what they want when they want it, which is, I think we can all relate to meeting people like that in various degrees in our lives. So that's our villain for it. So Jana, what about your villain? Why did you make this person a villain in your story?
Well, I write romantic legal drama, and so I chose a corporation And there's a long tradition in sort of legal fiction and in the movies of having the big bad villain as a corporation. It's no one person, it's the machine that is doing something that is evil. And in this case, it's a fictional pharmaceutical manufacturer that has placed a defective drug on the market that is causing really serious side effects.
Oh, that's crazy. But you know, unfortunately, I can just imagine that being true. Okay, Kim, your villain's motivation in this story.
Well, I can't tell you the whole thing, spoiler alert, but I will give you this. It ties back to my Alaskan Cyber Hunter series from Kriegel, which was 26 Below, 8 Down, and 70 North. And the readers have been clamoring for more about that series. So of course I tied in the villain, you know, not a good character. But the villain, he is motivated by revenge.
Yeah, that'll get us in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for those listeners who have read the series, he is not the villain from the series Resurrected. Just FYI.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you for not going the truly creepy route with that. So, you mentioned Alaska. So, would you like to talk about why you keep returning there in your books? Why this that setting for the Christmas story?
Well, after 50 books published, more than half of them, I believe, are all set in Alaska because we moved to Alaska from Louisiana, and talk about culture shock, talk about totally different, you know, everything. Climate shock probably is a huge thing, being Southerners that we are, and fell in love with Alaska. We just fell in love with the state, fell in love with the bush, fell in love with the city, fell in love with everything in between. It is a massive, massive piece of our country. In fact, if you overlay it over the continental United States, it takes up two-thirds of it. Alaska is just a huge state. And so many people have not written it well. So living in Alaska with readers and people up there love to read. They love to read. I kept hearing from people, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, this is not accurate. Or I'd read stuff myself and it's like, oh my goodness, has this person even set foot in Alaska? And so I've loved writing Alaska authentically, but I think even more so picking the setting was a piece of my heart because I grew up in Louisiana and we have in Louisiana the best food in the country. And I wanted to combine these two amazing cultures because this is where we have lived. We lived this, you know, ourselves. So moving from Louisiana to Alaska was a big deal. So I thought it would be fun to combine the two, my two favorite states.
I love that. So, Dana, you picked this question as well. So, what setting did you pick and why did you pick it for this story?
So I picked Asheville, North Carolina, where I have never lived, but where a very dear friend that I dedicated my book to lived. She was my roommate in college, and we have known each other for years. I graduated a long time ago. And several reasons in addition to that. So my other novels are set in Los Angeles, where I practice law. But with the exception of Die Hard, which is set in Los Angeles, which some claim is the best Christmas movie ever, there's no snow in Los Angeles. There really is nothing. I spent many Christmases in Los Angeles. There's nothing that gives the flavor of Christmas. So I thought, okay, I'm going to set it in Asheville, where this dear friend lives and where her family lives. And sadly, I wrote it before Hurricane Helene came through. And so I almost decided to change the location, but the resilience of the people of Asheville, their Amish family still there today, rebuilding homes for people who lost homes in Asheville. And so I also dedicate the novel to just the people of Asheville and their resilient spirit and just as a community, how they're nowhere near the ocean. Hit by a horrible hurricane. So it's for my roommates, for her family, and it's for the people of Asheville.
Oh, I love that. So I picked a fictitious place. I like to make things up. And as I mentioned it before, Twin Oaks, Virginia, it's this little town I made up along the I-81 corridor in Virginia. near the Blue Ridge Mountains, which are just so beautiful. A little quaint town. There's a bunch of little towns through there, but they were not big enough for me to, they were just like they had one or two things, so I kind of just picked a bunch of them and created a little bit of a bigger town as opposed to a one street five store kind of place that you drove by and you're like, oh, there it went. I'm sure they're great. So that's why I picked it. I love it. It's one of my favorite locations. I wish it was real. I could go visit it myself, but it's been loads of fun for that. So let's switch to the actual storyline. What about the genesis of this story? Dana, you want to take that first? What was the genesis? What got this story started for you?
Christmas comes around every year, and then the Hallmark Channel rolls out these Christmas stories, and authors are also rolling out all these Christmas novellas. And I ask myself, what is with these Christmas novellas these people are producing? And so I just gave myself a little challenge. I'm like, write one of those. Those people love those things. See if you can write one of those things. So I watched Hallmark Christmas movies. I read other people's Christmas novellas. And I also sort of wanted to try my hand at a novella as opposed to a full length, because you don't have to have all the intricacies. So I thought this is something I actually can get my arms around and could do relatively quickly. So I did it just as a challenge of I want to jump in there with everybody else. I want my novella out there just like everybody else's. So.
I love it. And Kim, the genesis for your story?
Well, this actually was an idea that I had more than 15 years ago. The publishers had been asking me to do lots of novella collections, and I don't know why. I just decided, I was like, I want to do a Christmas one. And I just started putting the idea together back then. So then, when Dana wanted to put a collection together, I was like, oh, super cool. I can use my Christmas idea. And my readers know that I'm notorious for killing off characters in my books. So when my 40th book released, it was hilarious because they did a competition to see who could guess how many characters I had killed off in all my books, just because I love suspense. No matter if I write historical or contemporary, it's in everything. I always have a villain POV. And so it was perfect when she said, let's do this. And then I got to tie it in to my series, the 26 Below series. And so I was super excited about that. So that was how it came about. It was actually an idea that I'd had a long time ago, and it was in my creative journal. And I was like, oh, I'm pulling this booger out.
I love it. Well, I picked positive underlying message, an underlying positive message, I should say, in my book. And I would say one of the things that I love about writing Christian fiction is that we can infuse it with these positive messages. The world hears so much negativity all the time. And I love that we can have realistic scenarios, realistic characters going through things that we know people all over the world are going through, and we can have that positive message. And I love that we could talk about second chances, and because God gives us so many second chances, and I just love that we can weave that into our fiction. So that's, for me, that was one of the fun things about writing this book, because I was taking two broken hearts and then helping them to see that there was a future with them together. So we are almost out of time for this podcast. We're going to close with I'm going to close with my book's tagline, and then you two are going to tell me one thing you want readers to know about your book. So my tagline for Do You See What I See is a desperate plea, a deadly pursuit, and a second chance at love. So Kim, what one thing do you want readers to know about your book in
Well,
this?
it's twofold, hope and forgiveness. I think that those are huge for the reader to be able to see hope and to see forgiveness.
Love that. Okay.
And what I want readers to take away from my book is that forgiveness is not earned. You have to, as Christians in particular, we have to be forgiving of others. Everybody's going to fail us eventually at some point in some way. Our spouses, our children, we fail ourselves all the time. And so we can't hold people to a standard we're not willing to hold ourselves to. We want forgiveness and we want grace, and we need to extend grace and forgiveness to others.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for being on my show and sharing about this book. And we're really excited to bring it to all of you. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.